This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
This conversation, it is about bridging the digital divide in civil society in South Africa. And so certainly we are joined by Marthley Du Plessis, who is coming from PwC Africa Workforce of the Future Lead, to help us make sense again of this particular conversation. Marthley, good evening and welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me as part of your show.
Have I pronounced it correctly, Marthley?
Perfect.
Okay, 100%. There's a lot in the name, so we always aspire to get it right the first time around. Let's get into this one. It's quite an interesting one because it's coming back on the back of one conversation we're having now about this great return back to work. Of course, on the back of, intermittent power availability and all of the kind of, downtimes is translating into and all of these things. And I guess corporates are saying, we'll buy a generator at least, everyone will be able to come to work. But of course, we can't go back to what was. And so we've got to reimagine a new future. So yes, of course, now what it does for those who've got, who probably senior managers or higher in the corporate, they probably have enough money to buy inverters, etc. Whereas other employees are the ones who don't have such luxuries, and they're the ones who are mostly impacted as well. And so before we even get to the kind of this digital divide at a societal level, we've got a digital divide in the corporate.
Absolutely. I think we all will agree that the technology and the digital revolution is very different from anything else that we have experienced before. Specifically, if you look at it from a speed and scale of change perspective. And then obviously the impact that it has on businesses, business models, societies, and then obviously communities and the individual. And we are starting to see that the smaller organizations or the nonprofit organizations, they lag behind purely because they focus on societal challenges and issues. And as a result, they don't always understand all the technology and suites available. And that, unfortunately, is increasing the digital divide and the skills gap that we are experiencing.
Sure. And I mean, I think, we're going to, unpack that particular research that did come from Capacitate Social Solutions to really get into the nub of it as well. But maybe just starting at a macro level, the World Bank did release a report 2021 that was talking about, the number of years lost on the back of the digital divide for kids who wouldn't have had the benefit of having online schooling on a continuous basis, etc., during the onset on COVID. And certainly, I think you guys have also been doing some work with UNICEF as well to really, explore, some of the pressure points around, particularly, the early childhood developmental implications of the digital divide as well. So maybe walk us through some of those views that you guys have been exploring.
Yeah, sure. So we have, given this tremendous impact that the technology revolution has, we have established a unit that we call Workforce of the Future, and we are running a campaign called New World, New Skills. So we do our best to understand what does this new world look like with all of the various macro forces, and then what is the skills that people would need in order to flourish in that new world of work. Now, as part of this campaign, we have entered into a 3-year-long strategic collaboration with UNICEF in support of Generation Unlimited. And the focus of this relationship is skills upliftment to the betterment of the youth. Now, UNICEF and Generation Unlimited focuses on different categories or different ages. So it does cover the very young up until about 35 years of age.
Sure. And double-clicking on that, in terms of really upskilling young people across the world through the, strategic partnerships that you have, a collaboration rather, that you have signed with UNICEF, there's often, we've seen in the South African context as well, a lot of people kind of, building, skills programs, etc. But some of those have only solved, on the supply side, but not on the demand side. So it hasn't, one, future-proofed the demand or how much those skills are going to be required by corporates on the demand side. So how are you guys thinking about the supply side versus demand side pressure point when it comes to also just the kind of the upskilling journey?
So it starts with understanding how the future world of work is going to change. What are the macro changes in the industry? What is the macro changes then in your organization? And then what tools and digital elements your people will have to use? So it literally starts at an industry level and then it filters down to an organizational level. However, your private sector and some public organizations are better equipped with your learning management systems and the digital tools that they have available. In the private sector, we're starting to look at, AI and all of these modern types of technology. The challenge, however, comes in your smaller organizations and, as I've mentioned before, the nonprofit organizations who doesn't understand which of these tools are available. Now, several companies have the passion for the betterment of the youth, and they are making technology available at very little cost or at no cost. But unfortunately, the research in terms of the usability, the accessibility, and the friendliness from a youth perspective isn't always tested that well. Mm. So Capacitate Social Solutions developed a platform called YoMobi, and it is very user-friendly, easy to access, and it really helps your nonprofit organizations and civil society organizations to latch onto it and almost create their own learning management systems which the youth can benefit from.
Mm. And I mean, getting into that, the work that Capacitate Social Solutions has, I guess, been responding to by creating that particular platform. Maybe walk us through again just the platform itself, the design aspects. It is, I guess, in the way I'm hearing, it's supposed to support the digital transformation of NGOs and smaller SMEs as well, particularly ones who are looking at civic contributions in the work that they're doing. But, and maybe it's I'm assuming it's probably going to include some business apps, etc., that may be functional and useful for them as well. But maybe just walk us through that value proposition as well and ultimately what it may do for some of these NGOs and smaller SMEs.
Yeah, sure. It is obviously available at very little cost to your NGOs. It is very easy for NGOs to connect with the platform. They can then use it for training courses, to make training courses available or learning material available to the youth. Not only can they make it available to the youth and it's easy to access for the youth, but these NPOs, NGOs, and civil society organizations can also track who is accessing these platforms. They can engage with them to understand what the true and real need is and then how to adjust the courses and the learning material that they do have available. When the youth access the tool, they subscribe, obviously, to a particular course, but they can do a needs analysis, which really gives them an indication of where to focus on. And then there's a number of courses that they can attend. And the good thing to show the progress is that we've got Capacitate Social Solution have about 59 civil society organizations that has already rolled onto the platform.
Mm. But I mean, I'm quite curious. So if I'm in an NGO whose mandate is skills and capacity building, if I can call it that at a broader level, and then the Capacitate Social Solutions would then create learning pathways for the people I would have ordinarily been doing skills development for. Is this, I guess, that's what I'm trying to understand. Is it a disrupting force to existing, skills development providers and learning material providers, or how is it augmenting the existing market structure, particularly around, curriculum build and design for young people in general?
I think the easy or the differentiator of this particular platform is that it is integrated several aspects, whereas you'll find in this industry that you will have several loose-standing platforms that's not necessarily integrated with each other. You will have a attendance tracker platform, or you will have a course material development platform, or you will have a registration platform, and it hardly ever speaks to one another. And the beauty of the Yomobi platform is that it integrates all of that, and that is differentiating it in the market. If we look at Generation Unlimited, and specifically at the PwC office in Nigeria, who also works with them, they've got a platform called Yoma. And this even allows the private sector to access the platform and advertise opportunities that they've got from a job and a availability perspective. So it's certainly opening up a more user-friendly and cost-conscious option to your NGOs.
It is 47 minutes after 7 o'clock for our listener. And of course, we continue our conversation with Mathli du Plessis, who is the lead of Workforce of the Future at PwC Africa. And of course, we are reflecting on a couple of things that, you know, that are a pressure point around the digital divide that has emerged, especially in the kind of environment we're in. And of course, how do we, you know, crowd in civil society and organizations, of course, that are committed to civic work in then, really, I think, giving them a unified place for them to really, I think, make their work a little bit easier, kind of give them a one-stop shop for some of the business services that they would need to ensure that they deliver against their own mandates. And so those are some of the things that we were reflecting on. Of course, PwC has signed a 3-year collaboration with UNICEF as well, in support of Generation Unlimited. And really, I think, again, just clicking into and double clicking into, solving some of the pressing social issues that we've got, and skills, of course, being one of the big ones. And of course, really, we spent some time reflecting on Yomobi coming through from Capacitate Social Solutions, really around ensuring that, they can bring in a differentiated value prop for particularly NGOs and some of these civic society SMEs in terms of really the work that they're doing, particularly in youth development. And just to bring you back into the conversation, Mathli, I mean, you spoke of course, new world, new skills that is coming through in terms of workforce of the future that you guys are driving through PwC Africa. One of the questions you asked earlier said, how does the future of the world look? So how are you guys modeling that first to then translate around what's coming through from the skills, and learning pathways developments on the back of this reality? What does that reality look like for you guys?
So we completely understand the criticality of being prepared from a skills perspective globally. So PwC globally has created a unit which we call Workforce of the Future. Now, in that unit specifically, we focus on the various industries, the technology, and then the skills required to successfully succeed in that world. But it can't stop there. It has to filter down to your private sector organizations, how they create their new training and development programs, but also private organizations that enter into discussion with your public, private, civil society, tertiary educations, that then come together and solve for the youth that has been excluded. Now, we are particularly focusing on smaller organizations and NPOs, and to understand the barriers that they are achieving, and then to help them to overcome those barriers so that they can catch up on the technological changes and therefore increase their reach and their impact. So the report that we have developed is really focused on smaller organizations, particularly those ones with heart that wants to, upskill the youth in the communities around us, and then how to help them build that roadmap so that they can increase their impact.
And what are some of the insights that have come through in that particular report, Mathli?
And I can actually make that extremely practical. The first thing that we have seen, because these organizations do not necessarily have dedicated teams focusing on technology, they are in a state of disruption. And that really creates a lot of angst because they don't know where to start and how to prioritize these different initiatives. So what we typically do is to work with them, and we go through a 4-step phase process. The first one is then obviously to assess, to say what is your purpose, who are the customers, which youth communities are you going to address, and how are you going to engage with them from a digital perspective. And then it is to say, we're not going to transform you overnight. Let's first migrate your paperwork, your manual activities into some digital material. So whether it's the scanning of hard copies or the converting of text into your handwritten into digital text, we help them to prioritize those aspects. And as they then mature, we help them with the transformation where they've got the capabilities and the skills in order to create a more sustainable focus on digitization. And then lastly, obviously, they also need to comply with all of these regulations and all of the policies and acts, POPIA, cybersecurity, all of those elements. So it's a process that we need to walk them through that takes quite some time. But we certainly see that if they have that roadmap, that it is definitely helping them along on the journey.
And are you seeing any kind of early stage, I guess, fruits coming out of that particular kind of advisory support function and capacity building function towards, digital transformation for SMEs and particularly as well, I guess, civic society groups like NGOs, etc.?
Yeah, absolutely. If I can use another example, as part of this PwC UNICEF collaboration, we obviously partner with other partners as well. One such partner is Technical Trust, and they're specifically focusing on quantile 1 to 3 schools, and then your high school girls. So it's for girls specifically, educating them on STEM skills. And we have walked the journey with them where they have gone through this prioritization process of digitizing some elements and then moving into a more formal learner management system. They're also considering moving into the Yomobi platform. And it is remarkable to see how the numbers of youth that they are reaching across South Africa are increasing. To the extent that they are actually thinking about how do we position it outside of the borders of South Africa.
Sure. And I mean, just getting into, some of the pieces also coming through your Mobi. And I mean, you did mention that there's almost an equivalent one in Nigeria, your Ma. But getting into your Mobi, and of course, you said it's got a nominal amount to get onto the platform. But, of course, one of the realities here as well, as you're talking about, is the cost of digital access in South Africa still hasn't been democratized. And so the average South African who is then a small nyana shop, that is doing some community building stuff, is also just struggling to stay connected at a minimum. And so how are you guys thinking about, or how has, I guess, some of the design aspects that have gone into your Mobi started to think about also resolving particularly the democratization of digital access in the context of our own economy?
I want to answer this twofold. One is a direct answer and one maybe a little bit more abstract. But obviously, all of the designs that we are doing with all of our partners are focusing on those that have been excluded, in areas maybe filled with poverty and disadvantaged individuals. So that is in the back of our head. That's where we are aiming all of our efforts at. And we are making sure that we then partner with bigger organizations, and I guess that's where PwC South Africa comes in, backed with PwC Global, to fund some of these initiatives. And that's why when we work with UNICEF or Capacitate Social Solutions, they really understand the need on the ground, truly understand the need on the ground, and can therefore work with a technology provider like Capacitate Solutions to design something that is fit for purpose. So often, your nonprofit organizations battle to translate the requirement and need that they have into technological terms, and therefore it fails. It's not sustainable at all. And we believe if you've got the backing like a PwC, who can provide the time and expertise, but also the funding, together with UNICEF, who understands the requirement on the ground, and a capacitated solution that can do the design, that's where the magic happens. And more of that should happen. The second angle that I want to come with is, it's not only about the digital and the platforms that we provide, but it's also to give the ideas that the youth have, to give that wings in partnership with the University of Pretoria, we are focusing on entrepreneurial courses. So we work with these youngsters to give their ideas some life. And then the University of Pretoria, the Mamelodi campus, together with PwC, we've established a business hub where they have access to tools, technology, digital aspect, coaching, to bring their business ideas to life. And last week, we had some examples of the youth in Mamelodi and the businesses that they've created. One example is a township brand that was established, a clothing brand. Another idea was the flipping of houses in Mamelodi. And this specific individual received the 500,000 Rand sponsorship to continue to do that. And a beautiful example is where they are creating jewelry, which is now being sold to Miss South Africa and all the contestants. So it is as much about technology, but it's also helping them to use it to their benefit.
Sure, certainly helping them use it to their benefit. And certainly, I think, again, supporting just the broader digital transformation journey in a South African context. Marthley, thank you very much and wishing you a lovely evening further.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Power listener, that was Marthley du Plessis, of course, who is the lead of Workforce of the Future at PwC Africa.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.